Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Coming to you live for the third hour, the fastest 3 hours on Internet Talk Radio is right here, powered by Zinc Media Arts, as we continue on this September number 11 in the year of our Lord 2018. It is a rather gloomy day out there, but it's warmer than it was yesterday. I guess we're going to be back up into the 70s and 80s for the next few days, and I guess the mugginess is back. In any case, here we go again. The call-in number is 603-499-7325, or Skype to Skype. It is Rod Eccles. lots of things still left to cover here this morning. I know people are talking about. We'll get to Mad Maxine in a moment or two. This from the Washington Examiner. Airlines say booming U.S. economy led to record summer travel. If you have noticed the roadways in your area being a little bit busier than they have been the past few years, well, this is why. Travel is up. More people are on the roads driving. I know that there have been some naysayers out there. Yeah, my tax cuts have been eaten up by higher gas prices. Gas prices haven't gone that much higher. But by the way, depending on the state that you live in, your gas prices could have gone extremely high, but that's due to the taxes added on to it. Now remember, there were some places that didn't like the idea of your gas price coming down. So what did they do? They added taxes to it to keep it high, so thinking that you wouldn't use as much. Well, that has nothing to do with the economy. And not to mention, what was the number that I saw? The reality is that we have very cheap fuel here in the United States. If you strip all the taxes away, now if you strip all the taxes away in Europe too, because Europe is ridiculous when it comes to fuel, but if you strip all their taxes away, their gas is still going to be rather expensive. I mean, what is it, like $5 or $6 a gallon there now? But if you, we don't, well, I mean, maybe Hawaii is close to $4 or $5 a gallon again, and you know, because it's difficult to get it there. It's expensive to get it there. But most of the rest of the country, it's, if you take away the state and federal taxes, gas is still pretty cheap. And it is below a level of probably what it should be. Yeah, we should probably be paying, if you're going to factor in inflation, closer to $4 a gallon than $2.50. And many places are still close to $2.50. Some are close to $3. In a rare few cases, you're probably looking above $3 into the $4 range. I don't know what it is in Hawaii at the moment. I don't live there, so I don't particularly care. That's up for Hawaiians to take care of. But, our gas is pretty cheap. Now, when you get a raise without getting a raise, you say, hey, I can afford to put gas in the car now. Now, remember, when gas is inexpensive, now think of this for a second. Now, there is something that the government did do that was right. I know I'm going to praise the government on something. Well, one, they did force auto manufacturers, all automotive manufacturers, not U.S. ones, to improve the general overall gas mileage of cars. So a lot of people have cars, even big or small, doesn't matter, that get pretty good gas mileage. I mean, most vehicles today, unless you have the real big honking trucks and stuff, most vehicles today will get more than 30 miles to the gallon. That's important, by the way. That's important. Remember this. Now, this sort of fuel efficiency has also found its way into other industries, like the trucking industry and the airline industry. Airlines have bought a lot of new planes over the years with engines that are super efficient compared to older engine models, which means airlines are burning less gas, jet fuel. Well, that's a savings for them. So when the price is high, it's necessary. When the price gets low, it becomes a boon to their bottom line. When the price is high, you having a fuel-efficient vehicle is almost necessary. When the price gets low, it becomes a boon to you. Because instead of spending $40 to fill up your tank, you'll spend $20. But you're still going as far. You know, if you spend, if it took, you know, back in the day when gas prices were high, if it took you $40 to fill up your car and your car would drive 400 miles in a tank, well, what are you going to do if your car, it's now going to cost you $20 to fill up that car to go the same 400 miles? Are you going to be willing to drive twice as much? Probably yes. Which means what? You're going to get in your car and do what? Go somewhere. If airlines lower their ticket prices because their fuel is so ridiculously low, fuel consumption and cost is low, then they can say, well, you know, hey, the ticket that used to cost you $150, well, now it can cost you $100. And you're thinking, hey, that's a deal. I'm going. That's exactly what's been happening. Airlines that say booming U.S. economy led to record summer travel. So our fuel cost has gone up a little bit, but not a lot. People have gotten a lot based on what their income is back in their paycheck from tax cuts. It's not crumbs. It's an important, significant amount. And the economy, because everybody's getting jobs and there's all this optimism that things are going to continue to be this good or get even better. We can spend a little bit of our hard-earned money on ourselves. Vacation time! Major U.S. airlines said yesterday that the booming U.S. economy is what led to a record-breaking level of travel over the summer. With a growing economy, steady employment gains, and household net worth at an all-time high in the first quarter of 2018, yes, passengers are taking advantage of persistently low airfares. A spokesman for Airlines for America, which represents the largest U.S. airlines, wrote in an email to the Washington Examiner, from the Wednesday prior to Memorial Day to the Tuesday after Labor Day, the Transportation Security Administration processed 253 million passengers and crew, a 6% jump from last summer. The TSA said that 9 of the top 10 busiest weeks in its 15-year history occurred this past summer. Again, you know, as I scratch my chin here, how exactly are Democrats going to make things better? What's your plan? Look, I'm all open. I'm all ears. I'm open to ideas that will keep this, you know, this train running and running faster, better, stronger. I'm all open. Let's hear what your ideas are. I haven't heard a single idea. I hear a lot of hyperbole. I hear a lot of, you know, jibber jabbering. You know, I hear a lot of empty promises. Yeah, we want to make things better. Okay, how? I'm not going to vote for you just because you say you want to make things better. I want to know what your ideas are. I want to know if I agree with those ideas or not. I want to know if your ideas are actually old ideas that took us in the opposite direction for the past 8 years. But you don't want to tell me, so I'm left to assume either you really don't have any idea, or you want to use the old ideas that didn't work that put us in such dire economic and military and social straits. I want to hear. I haven't heard any. I haven't. Have you? I'm just wondering if you've heard of, you know, what ideas, if you're a Democrat, what ideas do you got? Call in 603-499-7325. If you've heard of any Democrat, give an idea. What is that Democrat's ideas to make things better? Because that's all I hear is, well, everybody's not participating. Well, no, and you're never going to get everybody to participate. This is the old standby tactic of the left. Well, since everybody isn't succeeding and everybody isn't participating and everybody isn't seeing their income go, then it doesn't work. This is terrible. But they never, it's kind of like Cuomo. We've never been great. We'll only be great when every person is engaged. First of all, what the hell does that mean? And second of all, that's never going to happen. Because people choose not to engage. People choose not to participate. People choose the wrong path. I mean, so it's a bunch of BS. You're not going to be able to get everybody to be successful in the particular. You can't do it. So, in other words, what they're talking about is dragging everybody who's at the top down towards the bottom so that everybody's equal. Well, it's unfair that you have, you know, it's unfair that you're a fantastic photographer and this other person isn't. So, we're going to take from you and give to them because, you know, it's unfair that you're that good. Makes absolutely no sense. But that's a Democrat plan. That's always been a Democrat plan. If the Democrats have changed their plans, what are they? Does anybody know? I mean, if their plan is not the same as it was under 8 years of Obama, then what are they? What are their plans? I'm still trying to figure it out. Nobody seems to want to open up and tell me. Well, I know that there are a lot of people that are still going to buy the hyperbole. They want to make it better, man. They want to make it better. Okay, how? Well, it doesn't matter. They said they want to make it better. And the Republicans aren't saying that they want to make it better. No, the Republicans are giving you a plan of how to keep things going and to possibly make it better. They give you specifics. They support this, 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 and this. Well, we don't like those. Well, those things are giving you what you say you like. We don't like tax cuts. Well, the tax cuts are what fueled this whole economy. So, what is their plan? Raise taxes? We know that doesn't work. And I know you get some people say, no, we raised taxes before. Look, like on Bill Clinton and things got better. Did they? When you start digging into the numbers, no, they weren't all that great. They weren't. And when they retroactively raised taxes on people, which was highly unconstitutional and illegal, and somehow it stood, I still can't figure that one out. You can't do things retroactively. Okay, yeah, but we're going to make this tax retroactive. Okay. To this day, I still don't understand how that we let that fly. I don't. Well, okay. They got away with it because we let them get away with it. But that's the way it works. So what was their plan? Their plan was to raise taxes and just to do, you know, nothing else. And then we got the tech bubble. And that burst, and then Bush got blamed for the real estate bubble, you know, bursting. Why do we have a real estate bubble? Oh, because Democrats put in a plan that says because it was not fair that everybody who wanted a house couldn't buy one. And that even if they had no way of paying it back, that there should be programs for them to buy a house. And they did. And so when people realized that housing prices were getting to be too expensive and it didn't make any sense and the economy took, you know, some people started losing their jobs, but they started to say, well, I can't afford this house. Doesn't matter anyway. I don't have anything invested in it because, you know, I had to put like 1 or 2% down. And even that could have been borrowed. Yeah, we just walk away. And people did. And that started a downward trend. Because Democrats said that they felt bad that people who couldn't afford to buy a house couldn't buy one. Yeah, that's how that worked. So is that what they're going to do? They're going to bring back that kind of stuff? So if you can't afford to buy a car, well, you should be able to afford to buy a car. So we're going to do all these, you know, these loan programs. And even if you can't afford to buy one, we're going to let you buy one. Now, didn't we do something similar to that with cash for clunkers thing in order to try to save the U.S. car market? That didn't work very well, did it? No, it didn't. It didn't work. It was a temporary bump, but it wasn't enough to save the American auto industry. Not to mention they did take some good cars. Solid cars that could have been, you know, that had some used car value to, they took them off the road and destroyed them. That was the whole point. Well, we got to get rid of these gas clunkers, these gas guzzlers off the road. That was the whole point of, you know, cash for clunkers type of thing. Buy a new, more fuel efficient car, and we'll take this old car, even though it's got value, and we'll destroy it so it can't be used again. That's what they did. That didn't help the auto industry at all. You know, a short, little, slight bump in sales, and everybody thought it was, you know, everything was, it's amazing. Everybody thought that little tiny bump was huge and amazing, and things were going in the right direction. But did it lead to lower unemployment? No. In fact, unemployment kept rising at that particular point in time. And now we've got unemployment going low. And what do we hear from the lamestream media? How terrible everything is. But it was such a great idea under Obama. And that, oh, yeah, look, you know, we got a slight, you know, auto manufacturer. Yeah, they sold this many more cars. It isn't going to save them. But, hey, it's a step in the right direction. It's a brilliant idea, Mr. President. Great, great, great. In the meantime, Trump says, well, let's lower taxes so more people get jobs, more businesses expand. And that's exactly what happens. And the lamestream media goes, eh, no big deal. Nothing to see here. It's not a great idea. It's just crumbs, like Nancy Pelosi said. Well, I got something on Pelosi, too. Pelosi's actually out there saying they need new blood in the Democrat Party. Younger blood. Isn't that what's happening? Isn't that how they got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? Well, she's only 27, 28. I think that's pretty damn young. Isn't that how they're getting more of them like her? Yeah, now, Pelosi doesn't seem to agree with democratic socialism. But she says that the Democrat Party needs more of them. Well, either you don't agree with them, Nancy, but you want more of them. This is the kind of plan that you want for the rest of the country, too. You know, you don't agree with the bad stuff, but you want more of it. I don't agree with high taxes, but we should raise taxes. You know, go back to your brain freeze land, oh, Valley Girl. So we've had a record-breaking summer travel season, which means people have money to spend, and they feel confident enough to spend it. And yet you got a bunch of Democrats running around that are trying to get elected, saying that they want to make things better. They want everybody to participate. That's the key. That is the key. Because they say they want everybody to participate. And their way to get everybody to participate is those people who even those who choose not to participate should still be able to eat and sleep under a roof via government handouts. That's their idea of everybody participating. That's not everybody participating. I just thought I'd bring that to light for you. Yeah, well, it's not. It's not. Everybody's not participating. I got some bad news for women. Well, I guess it's going to really depend on the woman. This is from the Daily Mail. It's from the Daily Mail, and it's an injustice that's occurring right now. And there are a number of reasons behind this, folks. So don't think that there's any one reason or excuse. There are a number of reasons behind this, and it's male infertility injustice. Yes, male infertility injustice. More than half the problems with infertile couples lie with the man in the couple. The sperm counts have fallen 60%, so why does the IVF industry still focus wholly on women? Well, because it's a little bit more difficult to get men to produce more sperm, I guess. There's been a 59.3% reduction in sperm count between 1973 and 2011, yet bias against men continues as normal, especially when it comes to fertility. So sperm count is, maybe this is why we have so many feminized men. Maybe they're not, testosterone levels are dropping in Western men. That's true. Male sperm count in North American men, Canada and U.S., are dropping. That's also true. And there are a number of reasons behind it. You know, some of them, the so-called hormones that we're giving certain, you know, our dairy and feed cattle may have something. Well, it does have something to do with it. This is why you get a lot of people who don't like the hormone treated stuff. They try to get the non-hormone treated stuff. But our boys are not as boyish as they used to be. You know, I'm not just talking about from a society, you know, society raising them that way. Just their physicality is the same. And there have been all kinds of reports. Male strength, general strength, average strength levels of males in Western society, in the West, has declined steadily. Well, I mean, it makes it a lot. Look at it. You get all these, they call it manorexia now. We get all these really ultra skinny people like Beto down in Texas, and they can't even lift their own body weight. And that's not normal. Because our testosterone levels are down, which means muscle mass is down. Well, it means less aggressive males. No, it doesn't mean less aggressive males, believe it or not. It's more than just testosterone is the cause for male aggressiveness. In fact, in many cases and studies, it would show that males today are actually more aggressive. They're just not as strong as they used to be in order to carry out that aggression. But maybe that's why they're using guns. Data from the Human Fertilization and Embryology Authority, which regulates infertility treatment in the UK, it shows the number of infertile men being treated has doubled in just 4 years. The biggest study ever of male fertility in the developed world revealed that a 59.3% reduction in average sperm count in modern Western males. So I guess you could say that the feminazis and all those other leftist women that want male-female equality are winning out. Yeah, because men really are becoming more and more like women.
Warning. Listening to the Rod Eccles Show by the Idiot Left may cause outrage, fear, a need for safety pins and or spaces. If you experience any of these symptoms or are allergic to truth, tune in and learn something, Snowflake.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosett Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosettJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Now we come to the part of the program where I bring you today's holidays. Yes, the holidays for today, September number 11, are thus. It is I Want to Start My Own Business Day. You know, side hustle thing, photography, whatever. Just your own business. A lot of people have been doing that for the past 20 or 30 years, really looking into and starting their own small-time business. And some of them have turned into, you know, medium and big-time full-time income businesses. Even if it's just something, you know, it's like multi-level marketing, although they don't call it that anymore. So I want to start my own business day today. It's also Libraries Remember Day. Libraries always remember everything because everything that libraries have is in the books. So that's why libraries remember. It's also Make Your Bed Day. Yeah, you should make your bed every day, but today is definitely the day that you celebrate making your bed, and you celebrate by making your bed, especially if you don't normally make your bed. Make it today. It's also National Ants on a Log Day. National Ants on a Log Day is dedicated to a tasty, healthy, and fun snack foods. Ants. Anybody remember this? What Ants on a Log actually was or is or happens to be? I don't. Why is that the... Okay, there we go. I don't know what the hell was up with that. Nothing would stop, huh? Okay, Ants on a Log Day. It is... Anybody remember that when you were a kid? Remember the Ants on a Log? Well, Ants on a Log is dedicated to the tasty, healthy, and fun snack food. Ants on a Log consists of a spread, such as peanut butter, placed on celery sticks with raisins put on top. Peanut butter is the most common spread, but you could also use ricotta and cream cheese. But you remember that? It wasn't necessarily raisins that we used for Ants on a Log. We actually use like walnuts and stuff. You take the peanut butter, you put it on the celery stick, and you drop some like walnuts or Brazilian nuts or something, crushed Brazilian nuts or something on top of it. But you can do raisins. And that's Ants on a Log. So you celebrate by going back to your childhood and eating that wonderful after-school snack. You used to always do that for, you know, after school. You got home, you're hungry, you know, it was 3 hours since the last time you ate, and, you know, kids have a metabolism that burns everything off every 2.5 to 3 hours. So dinner wasn't for, you got home at 3:30, dinner wasn't until 5 or 5:30 when dad got home. So, you had to cover that in between time. Ants on a Log was a good way. It's also National Day of Service and Remembrance. There's a lot of these today. It's also National News is Good News Day for obvious reasons. It's also National Emergency Responders Day, again, for obvious reasons. We're not done. It is also Remember Freedom Day, and it is also Patriot Day. Now, this is the actual day that is actually there to remember the attacks on September 11th in 2001. It is called Patriot Day. But all these other days, like Remember Freedom Day, National Emergency Response Day, No News is Good News Day, and National Day of Service, all come out of September 11, 2001. It is also Women's Baseball Day. So Women's Baseball Day commemorates a day in 1875 when the first women's baseball game took place with fans in the stadium, in the seating. I shouldn't say stadium. They didn't have stadiums back then. In the seats on the sidelines. And finally, it is National Hot Cross Bun Day, which goes in the opposite direction of Ants on a Log Day. You know, hot cross buns are not exactly the healthiest things that you can have as far as pastries or bread is concerned, but it does have raisins in it. Most hot cross buns do have raisins in them, or the New England version, at certain times of the year, they would have cranberries. Cranberries are a big New England thing. You know, most of the cranberries that we consume in this country come out of New England. There are cranberry bogs all over the place. I think Massachusetts is the biggest state producer of cranberries in the USA. I may have that. I thought I read that somewhere. I may have that wrong. But I think California, you know, just like Florida is big on oranges and California is big on oranges. And California, I think, is the biggest producer state of pistachio nuts. They have them out there in abundance in California, as well as I think California also is the biggest producer of grapes and raisins, you know, table grapes and raisins. That doesn't mean other states can't produce it or don't. It's just that they're the biggest. And I think Massachusetts is the biggest producer of cranberries. So there you have it, your holidays for today. Now go out and celebrate responsibly. Yeah, you don't want to eat too many hot cross buns. It's probably bad for you. Here's some bad news for Democrats. I mean, it's good news for the rest of the world, but not necessarily good news for Democrats who say that Trump doesn't know what he's doing. The U.S. is preparing for a second Trump-Kim meeting. The White House says Kim Jong-un has sent a letter requesting the new meeting. Wait, I thought that he was turning back into his old ways and he didn't want anything to do with us anymore and that Trump lied and blah. Isn't that what the press was telling us? Well, the White House said it is working to arrange a second meeting between President Trump and North Korean leader or chairman Kim Jong-un, signaling an attempt to revive the stalled diplomatic efforts between Washington and Pyongyang. Well, I don't care how many of these talks that it takes. As long as the man is willing to step forward and honestly talk about coming to terms about something, it's a good step. It's more than, not only has Trump been able to arrange one meeting, he might be the first president ever to have two meetings with the North Koreans. And this is going to flip out the Democrats. Hillary was on the stump, on the trail, you know, saying you have to have trained diplomats in order to deal with people like Kim Jong-un. I guess then Donald Trump is a trained diplomat. You know, business really is the best place to find political leadership. People who are raised or go to school to be a politician, they're not the best people to be political leaders. We often find that. I mean, many of our great political leaders, especially presidents, were not professional politicians. I mean, George Washington wasn't. Thomas Jefferson wasn't. Eisenhower wasn't. I mean, he was a military general. I mean, he knew about politics, but he was a military general. He's considered a very good president. And Kennedy wasn't a political, you know, born to be a political leader. He was in the military, but, you know, his dad, you know, Joe Kennedy Sr., he groomed the entire family to be, you know, politicians. But still, his education didn't come from college teaching politics and political science. It came from the battlefield. Ronald Reagan, another, he was an actor for crying out loud. Actor and a business owner. I think he was a ranch, you know, ranch owner. And then you get Donald Trump. Who is our worst president? Two of the worst presidents we've had are people that have never really held a private sector job, let alone run a company. Bill Clinton, Barack Obama. You know, they went to college, though. They got a lot of education, especially Obama. Now, the only, you know, there were disappointing business leaders. You had Jimmy Carter. He was a peanut farmer. He was a terrible president. I mean, just because you're a decent or good business person, I guess he was a good businessman when it came to, you know, farming peanuts, but he didn't translate that into the Oval Office or governor of Georgia, from what I understand. But, you know, some of our best leaders have been business people directly out of the business world, and they usually don't get into the Oval Office. But, you know, a lot of them do become governors or senators, you know, state senators. But the last person you probably want as a president or a House of Representatives congressman or a senator is a person who's been trained in college to be a politician. You know, they take political science or they have a law degree. Those are probably the last people that we really want. But, you know, hey, D.C. and state houses across this country are full of people like that. I get it. I remember going to school with some of them. You know, college. You know, oh, my God, I hope this guy doesn't go very far in politics. And you could see it right from the beginning. This is why I have a problem with some young... Now, don't get me wrong. I don't know if I should, you know, point him out. You know what? I'll point him out. I'll be fair. You know, we have somebody on the left that is being trained in politics. And that's David Hogg. And as ignorant as the kid is, he sounds like a politician. He does. And he's being groomed to be that way. Now, I'm sure that when he gets done with his gap year, and if he does go to college, he's probably going to learn, you know, law or political science. It's going to be something in that vein. And trust me, we haven't seen the last of David Hogg. He's probably going to be the new Beto. Wherever he lands. Probably California. Well, that's where he wanted to go to college. You know, it was like three college. He applied to like three different colleges out there, and they all turned him down. But so he wants to be in California. So that's where he'll go and get his political start. And everybody out there in California is going to embrace him. Now, there are people like that on the right as well. And I know there are a lot of people that are going to take me to task for saying this. But there's a kid that I follow on Twitter. Now, I like him. I like his ideas. The problem is he sounds like he's being groomed for politics. And that's C.J. Pearson. Yes, he also happens to be a black youngster. What is he, 16 years old? But I can't help think about when I watch some of his videos and I'm watching a future politician. Not a future leader. A future politician. Because he already sounds like one. That's the problem that I have with these kids. The people doing this, I don't know if his parents are grooming him this way or if he's just decided to do that. I am damn sure that David Hogg saw an opportunity and is taking advantage of it. You can't blame him for that. I mean, an opportunity arose to him, and he took hold of it. If anything, you could say it. Anything good about the whole David Hogg thing is that he did take advantage of an opportunity. You can definitely praise him for doing that when most kids don't. There's opportunity slaps him in the face, you know, daily, and they don't do anything about it. David Hogg did. You can praise him for that. You know, C.J. Pearson, he's got a large following on Twitter. There's an opportunity for him. He's taking advantage of it. I can praise him for that. I just don't like the way they sound and the way they come across in their ideas that they have. They're too political. We don't need more politicians. I'm just telling you that. We don't need more of them. I don't care if they're right or left. We don't need. This is the problem with Ted Cruz. I'm not the only one that has this problem with Ted Cruz. I found out a lot of... Now, it's a good thing that I'm not in Texas, but a lot of people have had this... This is why he did not win the nomination for presidency. Because a lot of people have a problem with Ted Cruz being too political. He doesn't sound normal. You ask the man what he had for breakfast, and he gives you a political answer. People don't like that. They don't sound genuine. So, but we have a lot of these kinds of people that are roaming the halls in Washington and in the state capitals around the country. And I think it was that's why Donald Trump was such a breath of fresh air, because he obviously does not sound or act political. He just doesn't. Which is why so many people who are political get shocked when he's so successful. The truth is that business people know politics too, especially when they're dealing in international business, like Trump did. They can understand politics without being political. This is why they underestimate him. Well, he doesn't know what he's doing. Well, of course he knows what he's doing. He's had to deal with it for the past 30 years. And he doesn't come across as sounding political. Even now that he's president, he doesn't. That's the problem with him. A lot of people have it. He doesn't sound presidential. Oh, you mean he doesn't sound political? I think anybody who stands up for the American people in the United States of America and our Constitution sounds pretty damn presidential to me. He just doesn't sound political. That's the problem that they have with Donald Trump. And before people get, you know, start, you know, dumping, look, I like CJ Pearson. I do. I just think that he sounds too much like Ted Cruz. Let me put it to you that way. So, and I think that may be a detriment in his future. Maybe, well, obviously it wasn't a, well, if Ted Cruz wanted to be president, that was a detriment to him. So depending on what CJ Pearson, you know, wants to do when he grows up, it could be a detriment to him, and he should dial it back some. But he sounds like Ted Cruz. Just saying. It has nothing to do with his ideas. I'm not talking about the ideas. I'm just talking about how he expresses them. Now, as far as David Hogg is concerned, he sounds almost the same way. David Hogg is 18 and a graduate of high school, and C.J. Pearson already sounds, compared to David Hogg, sounds like he's got a four-year college degree, to tell you the truth. But he still sounds very political. You know, for good or bad, you know, he sounds like a politician. And except for the stupid faux pas that he did up in Canada, in Toronto the other day with Michael Moore, he's been hitting all the right notes. Wherever he goes, for people who believe in what he believes in, he's been hitting all the right notes. Now, he stumbled in Toronto by by being too ignorant to understand the ways of our laws. Going to Canada, he was so enthralled by the political moment, he forgot where he was. You never do that in politics. Now, he'll probably never do that again. But you never forget, you know, there have been politicians who've done that and it's hurt them badly. But he forgot he was in Canada. You should, you know, vote for, if you're not Canadian, that is, if you're an American here in Toronto, then go back home and vote. Basically is what he was doing. Well, maybe even if you are Canadian, maybe you can donate in our campaigns. And of course it I can't even believe it took Michael Moore to save the kid. Yeah, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. But he got lost in the moment, forgot where he was. But he was still being very political. Did he just back off and say, you know what, I made a mistake, I forgot where I was for a second here? But this is, you know, this is to all the people who are American who might be in the audience right now. Now, did he save himself by doing that? No. He tried to politicize his way out of it. And he doesn't have enough experience to do that yet. He's already being political. So that's the way it goes for that. And no, I don't like his ideas. So, you know, CJ Pearson, I like his ideas. David Hogg, don't like his. So it doesn't really matter how he talks or how they talk or present themselves. If I don't like your ideas, I'm just not going to like your ideas. I don't particularly like the way Ted Cruz comes across, but I like his ideas. But I know he had a problem with a lot of people not, shall we say, trusting him. I think that's the way to put it. He didn't come across as being genuine. That was his problem. And I would like to be able to coach C.J. Pearson and say, look, if you want to go further, take a look at Ted Cruz. People had a problem with him. You sound just like him. Don't do that. Just be yourself. Be a human being. Don't sound like every single thing that you say has been rehearsed 100 times. Honestly. And don't try to impress people with using, big $10 words. That's not the average American. The average American uses $2 words. Don't try to impress them with your intellect. It really comes across as condescending and phony. It really does. I mean, look, I know a lot of words, and sometimes I'll drop a $10 word here or there, but I don't constantly use them because that's not the way most people talk or interact with one another. And you just keep constantly using these what I call $10 words, and they're going to think, well, he just thinks he's so damn smart. He thinks he's smarter than me. And that turns people off. Even if you are smarter than most people, and even if people recognize that you might be smarter than them, they just don't like to have it smashed in their face. They don't like having to run to the dictionary every time you say something. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having an expanded vocabulary, but you gotta also know how and when to use it. So, just like you're supposed to write at an eighth grade level, you should probably speak that way too. And every once in a while, drop in a big word because people will pay attention. They'll go, oh, what does that mean? If they don't know what it means, they do. No, they'll go look it up and they learn something. But if you constantly use them all the time, every other sentence, there's a big $10 word, they're going to think, oh, he's just talking down. He thinks he's smarter than me. The last thing you want to do is be condescending to people or appear to be condescending to people. They don't like it. People don't like it. I think David Hogg learned a valuable lesson up there in Toronto. Never forget where you is. Yeah, they can donate, can't they? No. I can't believe Michael Moore had to save him. I still find that to be funny. Anyway, tomorrow is Wednesday, folks. It is hump day, and it is going to be the second half of the interview that you heard last week between Agent 0010 and Source D. You're going to want to hear it. By the way, we are currently working on something that'll blow your socks off even again for next week. We're just going to continue bringing this stuff to you, folks. I've also on Thursday got something important that I'm going to start dropping bombs on as well. This is the place to be. This program, we're not taking it lightly anymore. We're going full on, head on. We're bringing the rain. Until then, all of you down there in the Carolinas who are being forced to endure this next hurricane, be safe, please. You can rebuild stuff. You can't rebuild a life that's been devastated. So stay safe down there. We'll see you tomorrow for Wednesday's Intel Report. Until then, I'm Rod Eccles. Thanks for tuning in. I'm out.